Hello, my beautiful creators, and welcome to a new episode of the Creators Marketing Method podcast. I thank you so much for being here and for listening each week, for rating and reviewing the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. It really means a lot just to be able to grow my tribe here, to be able to know what you like and what you don't and give you more of what you like. So please definitely go rate and review the podcast. Today, we have an amazing interview with Davey Fisher, who I've known for several years. Davey is a certified trainer. Amazing. He's helped me get my body into shape at different points. He's also the fitness director at the Ranch Malibu, which is a beautiful space in Ventura County, Southern California, where I went on retreat for a week. And I try to go on retreat once a year, actually, to the Ranch Malibu in order to fill my cup up to the tippy top. So that is something that we definitely want to talk about, the importance of retreat, the importance of showing up for yourself and getting some time away and self-care and all that beautiful stuff. So Davey has his hands in a lot of different things. He's like a lot of us where we have several side hustles. So he's also a model and he's a real estate agent and he reps some different brands to help you be the strongest, best, most healthy version of yourself. So we're going to dive into all that, learn a little bit about Davey, how he's grown his Instagram to like 76,000 followers, all of the good stuff. So get excited for the interview. But before we dive into that, I do want to chat a little bit with you about the importance of retreat and why I take some time away every year, about a week. And for me, it's going to the Ranch Malibu, which is so wonderful. But taking that time away for concentrated self-care is really important for all of us entrepreneurs, for all of us creators. And there's several reasons why a retreat is really beautiful. First of all, just taking yourself away from your normal schedule, your surroundings, just the stuff in your life can be super important. It can really shake everything up. It allows you a little more time and space in order to spend time with your own thoughts, spend time reaching for new inspiration. So a lot of times for me on retreat, I will get inspiration for my business, for my personal life, and just be able to work through different things in addition that might be coming up. So that's so super amazing, getting that time and space. I know we're all super busy in our daily lives. So having that concentrated time away, whether it's a week, whether it's a weekend, whatever you can carve out, can be super important. And it really does help you with the detox. So for me at the Ranch Malibu, we ate clean. We did lots of working out. So we were hiking for 4 hours a day in the morning, which is beautiful. And getting out in nature is like one of my favorite sources of inspiration. I had so many downloads from the universe, you guys. So get real excited for 2020 because the Creators Marketing Method is going to offer some exciting new things that are that the brainchild of or came up while I was on retreat. And I'm fleshing it out and getting something ready. So I'll announce it here first. I love my podcast listeners. Once I get some of those new programs and new ideas, a little bit of flesh on the bones and figuring out exactly when and how I'm going to offer that. But you can see it in my, if you follow me at Gina Ireland on Instagram or search for me on Facebook, Gina Ireland or Gina Ireland's Creators Marketing Method for my page, you can see that I'm showing up in a more profound way, I think, on social media. So I'm offering you guys some free trainings on those platforms. So I'm going live a couple times a week. I'm making sure, I mean, it's things that I've done before, you know, posting to my IGTV, making sure that the blog is updated, the podcast is amazing, all of that. But I just have a deeper well of inspiration and a lot more is coming up and a lot more ideas just because I was able to take that time away. A lot of my clients, I do teach this in the 8th module of the Creators Marketing Method, which is my signature group coaching program. And for those of you who aren't in the know, but I know a lot of my clients are on here listening too, that is really a great space for my e-com, my product-based business, my creators, to get some concentrated coaching. So I'm able to offer a curriculum, what I call my teaching map. So it's over 8 modules where you go into the learning portal. You're able to watch a little video training from me. You get worksheets, you get examples, you get tear sheets, you get PowerPoint decks, all kinds of things to support you. And each module is broken up into smaller steps. And in each step, there are homework assignments so that, you know, I'm your accountability coach. So I keep you on point. And the point of going in a certain order, so some of my clients will want to, you know, jump around and all of that, but there's a method to my madness. And I've learned that things need to go in a certain order in order for you to get the most out of investing in different parts of your business. So it doesn't make sense to necessarily have a full-blown website if you don't have a social media following. It doesn't make sense to launch a podcast until you have a tribe, those kinds of things. So, and the other thing I do is I have all the pieces to the puzzle. So I've noticed in my own business when I was building the Creators Marketing Method, that there's lots of wonderful masterminds and coaching and all that out there. And they teach different pieces of the puzzle on how to create these creative businesses and make 6 figures. But you need like a bunch of them in order to do the entire puzzle. So what I did was I took all of those pieces and I put it together. So this is the only spot where if you want to make 6 figures in your Etsy business, this is just for you. And what else you get is you get group coaching calls. So every other week we get on a group coaching call. And the wonderful thing about group coaching calls is you get to mastermind with like-minded creators. So it's people at different stages in the program. They have their own experiences and they're able to give you guys feedback as you're working through the program. And you can, you know, use them as a sounding board, inspiration. You can get their advice, all kinds of things. And of course, I'm there making sure that you're getting lots of one-on-one time with me on those group calls. So what we do is we have about 5 people on each call. I cap it there. So it's a little intimate. And I make sure everybody gets about 20 minutes of just one-on-one coaching and that kind of thing. And then you get one-on-one calls with me. So you get a handful of one-on-one over an hour video calls where it's just me and you. And we're diving deep into where you are in the program, what you can do to move forward, all that good stuff. And what else? You also get, we do Slack for messaging and all of that. So you both have a group Slack channel and a private Slack channel. Again, the group Slack channel allows you to upload videos, copy, links, all kinds of things to get both my feedback and feedback from the group. And the Slack, the private Slack channel does the same, except it's just me and you. And you get 24/7 access to me, which is amazing and something I only used to offer to my one-on-one clients, but I love the group coaching format. And so I am an expert copywriter, guys. I've been doing this for over a decade. And so if you want me to help you write copy for your social media, for your website, anything, that's my zone of genius. And I'd love to share with you and I'd love to help you be the best you can be. And again, this is just a wonderful program. I love this program. I don't talk about it too often, but if you're interested, definitely go to @GinaIreland on Instagram. It's GINAIRELAND and send me a DM. Would love to talk to you a little bit more about the nuts and bolts of the program. And without further ado, let's turn to my wonderful lit up interview with the fabulous Davey. Thanks, guys. Hey, Davey, welcome to the Creators Marketing Method podcast. Thanks so much for being here with me today.
Thanks again so much for having me. Happy to be on.
Yeah, no, it's so exciting. I've known you for a number of years and I definitely want to start off with like your background and how you got to where you are today. But just to tell my listeners, I met Davey through the Ranch Malibu. And I know you guys have heard me talking in the last few weeks about my amazing retreat and my goal to go back once a year and the importance of retreat. And we started this episode out with talking about the importance of retreat. And I know Davey can talk a little bit more about that. But let's start off with Davey. Tell me your story and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah. So obviously you and I first met at the Ranch Malibu, basically a health and wellness resort and spa kind of nestled out in the Santa Monica Mountains. But it was, it was years in the making, my process and my journey to get started there. I guess, basically going back to undergrad, I majored in kinesiology. And after graduating up near Seattle, Washington, was involved in a couple of corporate wellness programs up there. A lot of prescriptive exercise, a very clinical environment, kind of postural restoration, clinical weight loss, kind of occupational therapy type stuff. And I loved it. It was great. I think I got a little bit rained out after a couple of years, but I took kind of on a whim the opportunity to come down to LA under an assistantship working with some strength and conditioning coaches who were prepping some athletes for the 2015 NFL Combine and Draft. So for me, growing up, kind of playing sports year-round and up through college, it was right up my alley and kind of the opposite end of the spectrum from where I was working in a very prescriptive, kind of delicate environment, if you will. Now to, you know, down in LA working with some super prolific athletes. So it was a total shift in gears for me professionally, which I thought was going to be, you know, potentially a new door that would present some opportunities. And sure enough, it did. I was down there for 90 days in Manhattan Beach working through a training facility there that hosted a number of athletes, not just NFL, but I got exposed to a lot of guys in Major League Baseball. The U.S. Women's Olympic soccer team trained there as well. So we got some hands-on experience with them. But at the end of the 90 days, I decided unpaid just to stick around because I enjoyed, you know, working in that environment and knew it was something that I would always be attracted to in terms of, you know, working with not just athletes, but I also got exposed to just working with regular people, which was really cool. And I stayed involved with that gym for a number of months, even after the assistantship ended. It was only, it was only 90 days down in LA, basically leaving Seattle for a little more sunshine. And at the time, that was my intention, was to get out of town for, you know, a few months and I would resume my job after the 90 days was up back in Seattle. And, you know, it was always that job out of college that I knew was kind of a somewhat of a safety net that I made some good money, you know, it came with a 401k package. So I felt like a real full-blown adult for the first time in my life. And,
love it.
So LA was kind of that, you know, going out on a limb and seeing what else was out there in the world. It was definitely, you know, treading in unfamiliar waters. And it was very uncomfortable for the first year, to be honest. I think by the time I made it to the ranch, people assumed that I had this incredibly easy or polished maybe experience and transitioned immediately to where I was at the ranch as the fitness director. But it was kind of a long journey to get there. And I always enjoyed talking to people about it because I think from the outside looking in, it's a lot different than one might expect. And a lot of people, when they struggle, assume that nobody else has gone through the same thing to get to where,
yes,
you know, they currently are. And I feel like that's been a lot of the substance of my journey in LA. The first year was really tough after, you know, not getting paid essentially for 90 days. The money that I had saved to make that whole experience work was drained very quickly. And so it became definitely a battle of battle of attrition from a financial standpoint. It was very hard to make ends meet. And I randomly kind of applied to a couple gyms locally in Santa Monica to start training in terms of a group fitness instructor. And I loved doing that, but I just felt so spread thin and I was having to work a lot of hours just to, you know, stay afloat. And for the longest time had a difficult journey sort of, you know, making a comfortable living and kind of massaging myself into a place where I felt like it was realistic for me to even be down here. I ended up almost leaving more than once just because I felt so overwhelmed. You know, I told myself when I moved down here that if you can make it in LA, you can make it anywhere. So it was really kind of a personal test. And I'm sure we'll continue to talk more about the nitty gritty of, you know, some of the details of that story. But I guess that kind of is a brief summary of transitioning from first Seattle and a couple years after college down to completely new landscape in LA. And gradually since then, things have fallen into place. I always tell people it was kind of a combination of things, but definitely being at the right place at the right time. And a lot of the initial success that I experienced was highly circumstantial. And I felt fortunate just to be, you know, at the place and time that I was when I managed to take advantage of an opportunity that came my way. So I'm the beneficiary in a lot of ways of the environment that I've been around. So I like to think there's definitely some good luck involved.
Yeah, good luck. But also you know, did the work and you set yourself up to be able to take advantage of that good luck. Sure. And I think that it's like those twin things that we need to remember in our lives for sure.
Yeah. And you tend to appreciate it more when you have to, really earn it, you know, because
totally.
Move my life down here, and it was a seamless transition. Everything was easy, and starting making money right off the bat, and you know, achieving success that I never thought I would get. You wouldn't quite appreciate it, and because of that first year down here, it was 2015. So it's already been almost 5 years that I've been down in LA. Without that first year, it wouldn't feel quite as good to get to where I've been able to get career wise, but also personally on a lot of levels.
Yeah. And they're so intertwined, right? Especially for us, like entrepreneurs and all that. And we're, you know, trying to get these beautiful lives that have balance with our careers and our personal lives and building all the pieces. And yeah, no, I hear that for sure.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It was a heck of a journey, but man, I find myself looking back all the time, and it allows me to appreciate, you know, where I am and where I've come. And I know a lot of people go through these struggles, especially in their mid to late 20s. And even after that, a career identity or, you know, being able to create the life that they've wanted to live, but also have the work-life balance that everybody struggles with. So everybody definitely goes through it at some point in time.
Yeah. And I love what you said earlier about, you know, that the path wasn't necessarily linear. I feel like a lot of my clients come to me and they're like, you know, I want to go from point A to point B, and there's a direct path there. But none of our businesses, none of our lives really look like that. It's a little bit more messy.
Well, what I had to learn kind of the hard way at first, especially, is sometimes you have to take a step to the side before you can take a step forward. And for me, it definitely felt like sometimes I was even taking a step back and then a step to the side before I could take a step forward. So it was kind of hard for me to be able to accept the reality that I might have to, you know, take a pay cut and start from scratch and do things over that I had done in the past. You know, applying to jobs was kind of a new experience for me, just because I was so used to the comfortability of the corporate job, where I had a nice environment that was very, it was pretty easy to, you know, dictate my financial future. It felt very secure. You know?
Sure. Yeah. It's that safety and that fear of, yeah, maybe going for something that in the long run serves you better and is, you know, really lighting you up and in your passion and purpose. But sure, it's scary to say no to that, you know, steady paycheck and that steady job and all of that.
Yeah. Like I said, I definitely, you know, took a pay cut for my first year for sure. But I think the biggest transition was going from being an employee to completely financially independent in terms of a freelance independent contractor, 1099 across the board.
Sure.
That was kind of tough for me, because I was working a lot of part-time hours at different gyms and randomly started accruing some clients. I needed to come up with my own, you know, in some circumstances, my own rate and my own business plan, which I had never really even thought about developing beforehand, because it was all provided for me as an employee. So that was definitely a struggle, being able to establish kind of my own rules. And to a certain extent, being a little bit of your own boss sounds like the best thing in the world, but it's a struggle when you're completely in charge of dictating your own business and your own income.
It's so powerful, but yeah, it can be so scary. I totally agree. I know when I took the leap from working in the corporate world to my own business, it was the same. It was like, where are my benefits going to come from? What if I don't get another client? What if I don't get a paycheck this week? You know, and yeah. And then the messiness, the side steps, the backward steps, all of that, to just figure out how to make it work and what works for you. It's so personal for sure.
Yeah. I think there's a sense of, definitely, I heard this saying so many times when I initially moved down here, but the whole fake it till you make it mentality and how much of a part of my regular life that became, because even though I did not have like my ducks in a row, I pretended like it, you know, and you tend to carry yourself that way if you're able to kind of give off that persona and, you know, exude even false confidence sometimes can really be helpful when kind of navigating a new professional landscape. I worked part-time with a startup company when I moved down here. And I was in a sense a health food products broker for a new company that basically, you know, we had clients like Whole Foods and Erewhon and Earth Bar and things like that. So it was like a higher end health food products company that did a lot of, you know, organic based everything from pastas to cookies to just a million other products. And so I had to learn really quickly upon taking this job how it how it worked. I'd never worked for a startup company. I didn't really ever work in sales or have any marketing experience, but I kind of took it as a little bit of a personal challenge. And it was kind of a commission-based structure where, you know, the better you did, the more you made. And that was somewhat new to me as well. Mm-hmm. And you really learn in a startup company how things work from top to bottom. Not only did we have to do a lot of the advertising stuff, but we literally picked up and dropped off inventory and did invoicing and every, so like I would,
you have to wear all the hats. Car. Totally.
Oh, you totally have to wear all the hats. I was driving around in my car with a bunch of boxes of product that I would deliver, you know, to certain stores. And then I would check on inventory of other stores. And it was just such a weird thing because I never found myself doing something like that. But I knew if I, you know, if I didn't try something, that I would never know if it was for me or not, you know?
Yeah, so I love that. Yeah.
I had to experiment with something so far outside of what I was used to, you know, to see if it was a good fit for me or not. I think a lot of people struggle with that professional identity where maybe they're not really sure if something's for them, and you're not going to really know otherwise until you try it. And what better time to try than, you know, your 20s?
100. Yeah.
For some, it's later, but yeah.
Yeah. No, anytime that it makes sense, but for sure that I think, especially in our society, that period in your 20s is like tailor-made for that because you're coming out of school. You're not quite sure how the real world works. You're experimenting, you're figuring it out. And that's so beautiful.
Yeah. It was definitely nice to kind of get that out of the way right off the bat because I had this mentality where I knew that I had nothing to lose.
Yeah.
You know, on the inside. And if this all, if nothing worked out, I could always just bail without telling anybody. I can move back to Seattle and take back my job. I was in good standing up there. Mm-hmm. So they told me if I ever wanted to go back up to, you know, the Pacific Northwest, they would take me back in with open arms.
That's great.
And so I felt like I had that backup plan. But for me, taking back that job meant, in a sense, a little bit of failure, I guess. You know, it was such a motivating thing.
Yeah, no, I hear that. That you're all in.
Mentally. Yeah, I was all in, and the thing that the only rate limiting factor that I had that was going to hold me back was financially. How long was I going to be able to last or make it work? And I took so many conservative routes just because I was so money conscious at first, trying to make, you know, things last as long as possible in terms of just paying rent and things like that. And then as soon as I moved to Santa Monica, I knew that, holy cow, it's going to be expensive. You know, I'm going to have to live a little bit more conservatively.
Yeah,
I was balling on a budget, just like I was in college. Mm-hmm. The suits that I had to wear, you know, for going to work every day at the startup company, it was the first time in my life I had to wear basically a suit and tie and a button up.
That's so funny. I can't even imagine you dressing that way every day.
Oh man, me neither, right? It was so cumbersome. It was super unfamiliar, but I actually got, I'll never forget it, my first three like sport coats, you know, the jackets. They didn't fit perfectly well, but I got them at Santa Monica Goodwill.
There you go. Just hustling. You know, yeah, making it 12, work.
15 bucks and nobody could tell otherwise.
Right.
It was kind of funny.
No one's looking at the labels and all that. It's like you said, when you show up with confidence and you fake it till you make it, or you act as if you're already there, it's like that's 90% of the battle sometimes.
Totally. And I think especially if you have young, if you're really young and don't have much to lose, then man, just go in there with all the confidence in the world. And you know, that's kind of one of those things that I think is a little bit underrated, is pretending like you belong in the room. And at times I definitely felt like I didn't, you know, and there's...
Yeah, don't we all?
You know, I was the youngest person there and it just felt like I had to really prove myself. And I kind of liked that because it felt like I was somewhat of the, maybe the star of my own movie or something, you know?
Oh, I love that. Totally. That I definitely think that way a lot, where I'm like, okay, in this movie of my life, this is like where I am and this is where I'm going. And oh yeah, I play that film all
totally. Yeah. I always create my existence from the standpoint of like a storyline, or if this was a movie or a book, would anybody want to read it even? You know, nobody wants to read about the guy who like almost, you know, jumped ship and made a career change and then didn't, and then went the conservative route.
Yeah, fearful, or yeah, like yeah, for sure. Yeah. I like that.
Something I've always thought about is, it's not that, you know, I think people, when they think about switching their careers or making a dramatic lifestyle change, they're afraid that, you know, they're not going to make it, or I mean, the worst possible thing that could happen is you kind of run out of money, but I think there's almost like this impending fear of doom. Mm-hmm. And really, like, rock bottom, you can only go so far down. I mean, I felt like I was there in the middle of 2015, to be honest. And it's when you take that kind of, you know, proverbial leap of faith, it's just not knowing where you're going to land. It's the scary part. You're going to land on your feet.
Yeah.
I mean, people, you'll do whatever. Yeah, you will figure it out. You'll do whatever it takes when the time comes and when the circumstances get more dire. You adjust, you know, and people are afraid almost of like, you know, they're going to die, or, and it's not even really close to that, you know.
Yeah,
you
might fail. Yeah, it's all in your head. You're choosing those feelings and you're choosing to play the catastrophe game for sure.
Totally.
Yeah.
And that proverbial parachute will open. It's just not knowing where you're going to land is the scary part. It might be a little bit somewhere different than you expected. And like I mentioned earlier, you might have to take two steps back before you could take a step forward. But long term, you know, you might find you'll be so much better off. And even if it wasn't the move for you, then at least you know for sure that you've tried.
Totally. And that's what I was about to say. You know, it's that fearful, uncomfortable feeling of making that choice, of taking that risk, of making that pivot, whatever it is, I think is so much less worse than looking back and being like, I wish I had done X, Y, and Z. I wish I had tried that.
Living with regret, you know, kind of sucks. I mean, I look at it from just the basic, you know, as a health and fitness professional, even leaving the gym, you never, you know, regret it after it's over. Right? You never walk out of the gym saying like, oh my God, I totally regret that workout.
Yeah.
You know, it might have sucked. You probably were kind of regretting it, you know, early in the stages of a warm-up or whenever it really started to suck. You know, it didn't feel good, but it always feels good when you're done. It's always worth it by then. It's kind of applies to just life too, you know?
I love thinking about like my fitness goals and all of that as like a metaphor for a lot of what's going on in my personal life and business and all of that, because it really is the same thing. It's like you're going to make all the excuses not to do the workout, and then you're going to start doing the workout and you're going to be like, this sucks. And then you're going to get into it and you're in the flow and it feels awesome. And then when you're done, you're going to be so happy you did it.
Oh, totally. It's kind of natural for me to draw so many parallels between fitness and life just because I feel like I'm, you know, living that existence every day where I'm in the gym. And it's almost like, you know, when you're more stressed out, your workouts are better because it's just this form of personal like diffusion where you're able to kind of, totally. Like you got to develop a relationship with your workout, just like a lot of other aspects of your life. If you always approach it as a chore, like, oh God, I got to get up and, you know, put on my workout clothes and go to the gym and shower. You know, if you're always looking at it like a chore, then you're never going to be very successful with it. You're not going to be able to use it to your advantage. Whereas once you start to accept it for what it is, then it's a lot easier. It's kind of like, I use the analogy of something super basic that I hate doing. It sounds like almost petty, but I hate brushing my teeth at night. Even before they're better in the morning or whatever.
You're like, all I want to do is like, crawl under the covers. I've been there.
Flossing is the same way. Flossing is so tedious. It kind of hurts sometimes. It takes forever, which is only like 2 minutes.
But it feels like
somehow
forever.
I'm able to, it does. Somehow I'd rather go to the gym and just get my ass kicked for an hour than floss for 2 minutes. You know, and we're all so different with our tolerances of certain things, but it's just like brushing your teeth or flossing in that, you know, you have to do it. It's just, it's not really a, you know, I don't approach something like that as it's not optional. You know,
totally,
you just kind of accept it for what it is. It's like putting your clothes on every day before you work. It's just something you don't think about. It becomes automatic the more you do it.
Yeah, I love that. Hey creators, I'm just popping in quickly to tell you about my free ebook. Do you want to make a full-time living doing what you love? Get my step-by-step system to get consistent recurring revenue on a month-to-month basis. Learn the exact steps I use in my signature group coaching program, The Creator's Marketing Method. My clients are able to double, even triple their revenue by following these steps. Get your free 7 easy and simple steps to add soul to your marketing guidebook today. It'll help you get clarity on how to craft engaging marketing messages that leverage the power of storytelling so you can make more money doing what you love. Just text creators to 66866. That's CREATORS to 66866 to get my free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing message to explode your income. Lots of soulful goodness, guys. And now back to the podcast.
Isn't it if we switch gears a little bit really quickly? I've been talking to my tribe all about my experience this year and then different years going to the ranch. And I think they'd love to hear from you about, you know, how, what it's like to be the fitness director at the ranch, what the whole ethos of the place is, and what you think the importance of retreat and detox and getting away is.
Yeah, so I've always liked the phrase that Alex, the owner, has one of the owners has used there. He and his wife Sue, they're amazing.
So amazing, guys. But,
yeah, he's always called it like an important element of pattern interruption, because if you get used to your day to day life and all the regulatory mechanisms behind what you do, it's this repetitive pattern that some people get so sick of, but they're not really aware of how much consistency day to day happens, and it gets kind of stagnant. It almost gets boring. It gets to feel more like work, you know? And, I think taking a break from that, from a psychological standpoint, first and foremost, is huge, because you start to approach more things as, almost like a task oriented approach, where you just kind of know you have to do it. You're going through the motions. And, the only time you're able to reframe those experiences was when you step back. Work seems like a grind, you know, same stuff, different day, right?
Mm-hmm,
but
totally.
I think when people come to the ranch, they're able to experience a level of solitude that you otherwise can't really create in your life, especially if you have a family and you're working full time. Not everybody has the luxury just to kind of shut things off completely for a little while.
And, yeah, create that time and space for sure.
Yeah, and like when you go out there, it's this property that's nestled out in the middle of the Santa Monica Mountains, it's dead quiet. And there's not really much that can interrupt you. It's kind of a chance for people somewhat to be selfish as well. At least that's how I try to convince people who come to stay there. Approach this time as your time. You can use it however you want to get better. But, you know, some of that might come in the gym, and some of it might come with just taking a little bit of time away from work and doing whatever it takes to work on yourself or take care of yourself. And that kind of starts with your health, really. Because in a way, you almost have to be selfish sometimes, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of anybody else around you, and the rest of your relationships will suffer.
It's that whole thing of like, you know, when you're in the airplane and they say, you know, put the oxygen mask on.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, oh, sorry.
And some people say, it's funny, some people say like, well, that seems so stupid. Well, it makes sense, because you're not able to do anything if you're not taken care of first. So that's such an important aspect. And I think that's why a lot of people go there by themselves. You find a lot of guests that come to stay for the week are there by themselves, and they know somebody maybe that went to the ranch, or maybe their spouse came a week prior, or they came maybe with a distant friend or whatever. But for the most part, a lot of those people are coming solo, and they're getting a chance to start from scratch and like get to know some like-minded people who are also doing the same thing. It's a week of no comfort foods, no coffee, no wine or alcohol of any kind. It's a plant-based diet. So from a physiological detox standpoint, it definitely allows you to get back down to that ground zero of homeostatic regulation, where you feel like you're having to create your own energy to wake up in the morning to a certain extent. And everybody is doing it together, which makes it a lot easier than you having to just do it by yourself. I think a big motivating factor is that we're all kind of in the same boat, even though we have a lot of differences and, you know, come from different parts of the world, maybe, or different ages, and everybody comes from a different background with a different situation. But for the most part, everybody kind of has some of the same goals when they're staying there. And so I think that's huge, is having each other to kind of rely on, knowing that, man, this kind of sucks for everyone. It's a hard week.
It is a hard week. Yeah.
It's not a rest and relaxation type of spa atmosphere. And, you know, just as much as they have the amazing amenities, and you do get those times to kind of put your feet up, it's not a lot of that. The theme of the week is definitely more on the labor intensive side of
movement.
Things.
So, yeah, for sure.
And movement, which is medicine, you know, for the body.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. It totally is.
Yeah.
Love it. I know my listeners are dying to hear all your Instagram and social media tips and tricks.
Oh, geez,
you're like killing it on there. And I know you have, and I love this because you have we've mostly been speaking about your fitness career. And so you're, you know, the fitness director at the ranch, you have private clients, all of that. You also are a real estate agent and a model, and but you have one cohesive personal brand. So you're showing up in one way for all of these different hustles. And I would just love to hear, how are you showing up every day? Let's like talk about Instagram, showing up every day on Instagram. Are you getting clients through Instagram? What is your strategy behind making sure that that's growing and you're continuing to grow your tribe?
Sure. Yeah. Well, just as important as it is with any other business, no matter what you do, to a certain extent, you'll be able to benefit more when you have your own personal brand that you could use for a source of income or a source of creating clients for whatever your business is. And I think first off, taking a quick step back, people might hear those things and think, okay, how the hell do you, what is your Monday through Friday look like if you're
doing those different things? And
it's a, it's like I said, it's very much a 1099 thing where I've been fortunate to where I can split time doing different things and I could take a step away from the ranch even for a day or 2 days or even a week if I need to, which I've been lucky enough to, you know, have the opportunity to be able to do. It's very much a team effort at the ranch where, you know, I step away, somebody else steps in and we kind of bounce off each other. So I don't want it to seem like I am the ranch guy. There are so many people involved in the process of, you know, on a week to week basis that make everything work, which is an amazing thing in and of itself. But I'm a small part of that puzzle out there. And just like my clients are flexible, I can kind of, you know, regulate my schedule. If I need to go out of town, then we just kind of push things around. And I'm always kind of playing Tetris, so to speak. in terms of real estate, a lot of the fitness stuff in real estate kind of go hand in hand when you're working with clients. A lot of it, you know, people are trusting you with their bodies, they're going to trust you in other ways as well. And
I like that. I hadn't thought of it that way, but that makes total sense because it's really that know, like, and trust factor. And if I'm seeing you every week or multiple times a week and I'm trusting you, to make me the healthiest, most energetic person, then why wouldn't I trust you with bigger things like, or maybe not bigger things, but with different things like purchasing real estate or selling real estate?
Yeah. And at the very least, I want to be able to be a resource for somebody like that. It's not like I go and I spend days at a time in the office. I rarely go to the brokerage here in Santa Monica. And most often it's, you know, even referrals, things like that. You can make a living in real estate without actually, you know, I've only hosted a couple open houses. You know, I answer questions here and there and refer people to other people, but it could be very much a referral thing. And when the time comes even to buy your own home, you know, you can represent yourself in a transaction, which will save you here in LA a lot of money. So
yes, it will.
I think people, you know, people when they take on a business venture, like, oh, I'm going to be a realtor. You don't have to be a realtor full time. You can keep that in your back pocket and use it to your advantage when opportunities present itself. But it's a great, also a great side hustle. Just like
I love that. Yeah, it's like another source of income for sure. Sorry, go ahead. So
So I guess when it comes to Instagram, you know, I initially wasn't sure how I was going to be able to go about it because when I first signed with an agency here in LA, which basically is responsible for helping you get jobs and commercials and stuff that I never thought I would be
able
to
clarify,
do in my
this
life.
Is for your modeling and acting, not for real estate.
Correct. Yes. The brokerage is Keller Williams, so I'm within Santa Monica, but my agency is in Beverly Hills and they handle all the behind the scenes stuff of getting you different opportunities and, like I said, basically modeling stuff, which is a whole separate story that I kind of fell into, like I mentioned earlier, kind of a byproduct of the right place at the right time. But you have to have an Instagram if you're, you know, with an agency. And I didn't know what the hell an agency was. I didn't know how Instagram worked. I never had an Instagram in my life until...
Really?
Yeah, until the end of 2015. So
that's incredible. And now you have, I think I looked at your stats this morning, you have like 76,000 followers or something like that. That's incredible.
I've never looked at it like you're chasing a number because there's always going to be people like compared to a lot of people, even in my own industry, especially down here in LA, everybody's got 100,000 followers. So you get stuck in that comparison game if it's unhealthy where, you know, you might ask, why am I not developing growth or whatever the case may be. And the less you tend to think about the numbers and the more you just be authentic, generally the better off you're going to be. Because if you're always comparing yourself.
Yeah. And you're also going to connect with more dreamy customers, more authentic connections. So you can, I mean, look, you can like go and pay a bot to get you like a gazillion followers, but like, are those followers actually going to care about your content? Are 100%. They actually going to buy from you? Yeah, totally.
That's why it's funny, because if you work with some brands that they want to know who your primary demographic is age-wise, they want to know where they are, you know, breaks it down by the city, where all your followers are, when they're the most active. And you can look at all these numbers. And basically what you'll find is, you know, companies are willing to invest in, I mean, I guess the term today is influencers, but people mm-hmm. on social media, personalities who have an engaged and authentic audience.
Yes.
You'll find, you know, those are the types of people that get a lot of conversation, a lot of dialogue on their page. They get, I know people, you know, with likes and stuff like that. Those are a part of the picture, but they're not necessarily the most important thing. The most important part is, do you have an active and engaging audience that's reflective of kind of who you are and maybe mm-hmm. what you're trying to sell? Because, you know, in today's day and age, it's very much a visually oriented culture, especially in America, where it's just a quick like thing and people follow other people just because of the way, you know, they look. And I'm sure that, you know, exists to a certain extent with everyone, but
sure.
The more authentic of a following you could build, the more of an able audience you're going to have to cater to a business. Are people yes. willing to buy your stuff? Are they like-minded individuals? Are they into what you're into? If you're trying to market to your audience and 90% of them is, you know, girls or guys or the opposite gender who are just following you for one, maybe because the way you look or, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of that these days.
Sure.
You're not going to be able to be very profitable. And other companies also are interested in that. If they want to hire you for something, they want to know, what's your primary demographic? What's the age range of your followers? You know, where are they located? You could break all these numbers down and they'll develop a, you know, a quick assessment on you to see whether or not it's worth it to invest their money in you for promoting a certain product.
And, exactly. Yeah. Are people going to trust you if you say, you know, if you stand behind a product? Because they're not going to trust you if they're not, if they don't know who you are, if you're not a little vulnerable and authentic on your feed, for sure.
Totally. And as from a user standpoint, it's kind of on the opposite side of the end. You want to also promote products that contribute to your image and who you are mm-hmm. and what you're about. I don't want to be out there promoting a product I don't use. So I always joke around, like, you know, quote unquote, the Davy Fisher guarantee is that I'm not going to promote something unless I either use it regularly or have used it and love
yeah.
it, you know, if I'm all about it. I have some friends that have started businesses and I'm happy to promote their stuff as well, you know, but as long as it kind of aligns with what I believe in and who I am to a certain extent. So I think, you know, it's very easy these days to accept a quick buck from a client that you might not really feel and aligns with your personality or what you're about. But it becomes difficult when all these companies are willing to throw so many dollars at
yeah.
You for a certain product. You know, I think there's a lot of that going on too. Well, you know, the money's good, so I can't really turn it down. And just as much, you can still use Instagram as a business platform for a quick buck that way. But in the long term,
that'll bite you in the ass. Yeah, no, totally.
It totally will. So you have to be careful with it. And I never thought Instagram would even be a profitable venture for me. It took me, I mean, the better part of a year to figure out how the hell the thing worked. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's, you know, I try to have an element of sarcasm and levity in almost everything I put out there, just because I think some of the most important aspects that I want to be reflected in, you know, my image is to stop taking life so damn serious.
I love that. No, that's why I love following you. Yeah, it's always a good reminder.
Joke around and laugh a little bit because I know how it feels when I'm like kind of stressed out and I might be taking something too serious. And
totally.
It could be any matter of, you know, business or finances or pressure of any one thing. And then all of a sudden somebody's story pops up and they make you laugh about something super dorky. And it allows you to really reframe things a little bit. So I think having a sense of humor and levity is huge. I think motivation is huge because I'm a fitness, I guess, personality. That's always going to be big on my page too. And I try to, you know, have those things exuded on there as much as possible. I think it's kind of also hard when you meet a client for the first time, they're probably not really sure what the hell to expect. If you're acting completely dorky all the time, is he ever serious? You know?
But you do have serious on there. I mean, you have a whole new stories series that I've noticed where you're showing functional movement and how to do, you know, some of them in for your followers. So in their own home, in their own gym.
Sure. And you know, the funny thing was that was never an idea of mine, but when people continuously ask about, hey, what are your favorite exercise for this or that? And that ended up being kind of half of the messages and stuff that I would get. So I just thought, well, why don't I just put a bunch of stuff out there that is fairly user-friendly? I'll take some of the stuff that I do on a regular basis that's not the crazy stuff that you might see out there that sometimes, you know, gets to be a little bit extra, but just with the basic stuff that I do in the gym.
I love that series. And I love that you listened to your followers. They were asking for something and so you created it. I mean, that's what these social platforms are all about, you know, closing that loop.
Totally. And making more valuable time on Instagram or I guess I could say time more valuable too, because I think we all get caught in the wormhole where all of a sudden we're looking at NFL highlights and then there's a particular player. You click on the player, like, oh, who's he dating? Oh, what's she about? Mm-hmm. And then you go, you could end up somewhere
in
totally
there.
Different.
It's like 2 hours later. What am I doing?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm never getting that time back.
Yeah.
You know? And so when you can make it a little bit more, not just user friendly, but give somebody some useful stuff that they could take advantage of, it's just free and easy and quick. That's a win-win for me because I'm not trying to, you know, really profit off of giving people some stuff that they could add to their own workout routine. You know, if you're always all about that, then you're going to miss also the bigger picture. So
totally.
It's
about being of service. Yeah. 100.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're always just asking for a quick buck, you know, I think some of the image isn't quite as genuine. Like, I remember
see through that for sure.
Yeah. There's this guy who's got an amazing podcast and he's so smart and he's great and funny. It gets a little bit weird because at the end of every podcast, he's always like, and guys, make sure you give me a 5-star rating and follow my Instagram, follow my Facebook, and make sure you send me to all your friends so they can give me 5 stars. And how about like rating it whatever they want to rate it? You know, he doesn't really say like, I would really appreciate a 5-star rating. It's more like, make sure you rate me 5 stars.
Yeah, that's like a command.
Yeah. You know, and he's kind of creating this warped agenda, I think, that isn't quite as genuine as people might like to think. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that totally makes sense.
Not that I would ever judge or critique how somebody does their own thing, because everybody's got their own style too.
And everybody's on their own journey and all of that, totally. But it's good to see what's out there and reflect on what works and what doesn't work for you.
Sure.
And I love
totally.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, so Instagram for me has become this multifaceted tool where, you know, you should have fun with it for sure. You should hopefully be able to make it useful for your audience. I want to make it motivational. Every now and then it's, you know, good to laugh, I think. But also you can make it a business platform. I get, you know, I get a lot of clients through there. And then I get some other...
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, which is great. And not only that, but you can use it as an advertising platform as well for other companies. So I guess it's definitely become a thing that you kind of have to learn to navigate if you really want to achieve an extra level of success with what you're doing. And it's a great place sometimes to start, but it's a great way also to accentuate your business as it currently exists.
Love that. Well, thank you so much for your time today. You gave us so many good gems from the importance of retreat and getting away and shaking up your day-to-day to Instagram, and also being really vulnerable and telling us your own story and like how it wasn't linear for you, just like for, I think.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It gets
a lot more self-deprecating than that too, but I'll just... I wanted to keep it fairly short. If anybody out there who hears this too is struggling with that, whether it's a business identity or just financially making it work or doing what you want to do, you're not going to make it easy. You know, it's not going to be this simple process that happens overnight. It does take a lot of deprecation sometimes on the way to get there. And the longer you stick it out, the better off you're going to be.
Totally. Love that. Well, so where can my, we talked a lot about your Instagram and everything, but where can my followers and listeners find you?
Yeah, you know, I'm not on Facebook. I have a Facebook, but I haven't used it in a couple of years, I think, except for to reply to happy birthday messages, maybe, which is a totally different thing. I prefer Instagram just because I don't, I try to limit my time on my phone as much as possible.
Got that. Yeah.
My email thread as well, just my name, Davey Fisher, and then the word fit at gmail.com. That's pretty common as well for people to reach me. But for the most part, it's usually through the Instagram grapevine. Yeah, just my name, Davey Fisher.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and we'll make sure to put that in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time today. I know my listeners got a lot out of this, and I bet you'll get some more followers. people wanting to know about your gym bloopers and your great sense of humor and also some of those tips for what to do in their own gyms.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Gina, really.
Of course. Well, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Take care.
This has been the Creators Marketing Method. Thanks for joining me today. Text CREATORS to 66866, that's CREATORS to 66866, to get my free step-by-step guide to create your authentic marketing message to explode your income. Lots of soulful goodness, guys. And subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.